Annual Review 2024. Share our vision. Centre for Eye Research Australia. Hope in sight. This recording lasts for approximately 1.5 hours overall.
Our story. Vision is precious, and no one should ever lose the gift of sight. We're deeply committed to conducting eye research with real-life impact and finding ways to prevent people from going blind. As an international leader in eye research, we use our world-class knowledge and expertise to achieve better treatments and faster diagnosis of eye disease. Our goal is to prevent vision loss and ultimately find cures to restore sight. As true innovators, our scientists are on the brink of new discoveries every day. With your support, we can continue this world-leading research and accomplish scientific breakthroughs previously deemed unattainable. Our aim is to offer hope to people affected by vision loss and protect the sight of everyone in need. With CIRA, there's hope in sight. Centre for Eye Research Australia. The picture caption reads, Cover. Lewis Shepherd, who lives with Usher syndrome, with his mother, Emily. Logos? The University of Melbourne. The Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital.
Contents. Page 2. Chair and Managing Director's Message. Page 8. Glaucoma Trial Goes with the Flow. Page 10. National Recognition for Glaucoma Researcher. Page 16. New Focus for Testing Functional Vision. Page 22. Genetic Testing Ends 40-Year Wait. Page 28. Global Study Uncovers Macular Mysteries. Page 36. Scanning for Diabetes with AI. Page 38. Group Gives Consumers a Voice. Page 42. Lead Researchers. Page 44. Our Board. Page 46. Abridged Financials. Page 48. Supporters and Acknowledgements. The picture caption reads, Local Device. From left, Professor Keith Martin, Professor Michael Coote, and Dr. Jennifer Van Gasken, examining the locally designed VividFlow glaucoma device.
Chair and Managing Director's Message. Partnerships are the lifeblood of successful medical research. They are the key to getting discoveries that have been made in the lab into the clinic. In 2024, CIRA continued to forge dynamic partnerships to drive our research forward. We unveiled vital new infrastructure, state-of-the-art discovery research laboratories, and a new clinical trial centre, which will provide a hub for national and global vision research collaborations. We also put the finishing touches to our new 2025 to 2030 strategy, Impact Through Innovation, which puts partnerships at the heart of everything we do. The new strategy builds on CIRA's strong culture of collaboration that underpinned successful projects in 2024. On World Clinical Trials Day, Victoria's Deputy Premier, the Honourable Ben Carroll, launched CIRA's new clinical trial centre, Cerulea Clinical Trials. Cerulea, supported by a $10 million investment from Breakthrough Victoria, will deliver trials to 2,500 Victorians annually over the next decade. It will collaborate with global pharmaceutical and medtech companies and provide a location for Australian inventors to trial their discoveries. CIRA is also proud to be part of research resulting from a partnership between the University of Melbourne and global genomics company Illumina. The advanced genomics collaboration is using cutting-edge DNA sequencing technology to pinpoint the genetic causes of unexplained inherited retinal diseases. CIRA's spin-out company, Mirogen, also went from strength to strength. Its research to develop a gene therapy to restore damaged photoreceptors received a $1.92 million grant from the Curator Plus scheme in 2024. Over the past 12 months, our philanthropy program has received a significant boost from our Voluntary Philanthropy and Engagement Committee under the leadership of Chair Alexandra Grimwade. Consumers are also playing an increasing role in our research through our new Consumer Advisory Group. We are grateful to our inaugural members, Jane Cherry, Dr. Ronelle Hutchinson, Dr. Colleen Lewis, Daniel Talco, Chris Edwards, and Committee Chair, CIRA Board Director, Simon Bruin. In 2024, we also farewelled two leaders. Long-term CIRA Deputy Director, Professor Peter Van Wingarden, was appointed to a new role as Executive Director of the FLORI. He continues his research at CIRA in an honorary capacity, and we look forward to future collaborations. Olivia Hilton also ended her term at CIRA after 11 years as a board director, including the last six as chair. Olivia's deep experience as a consultant and executive in social impact organisations has been invaluable. We thank Olivia and Peter for their outstanding service and also welcome new director, Dr. Serge Scrofani, to the board. Thank you to our staff, our research partners, the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, the University of Melbourne, and the people with vision loss who take part in our studies. None of our research would be possible without the thousands of people who donate to CIRA every year. We are incredibly grateful for your support. Signed, Professor Keith Martin, Managing Director, and Duncan Peppercorn, Chair.
Impact through Innovation, 2025 to 2030. Strategic focus. Since 2020, we have transformed our infrastructure, capabilities, and capacity to take research from the lab to clinic and intervene early to prevent eye disease. As we look ahead, our focus will push the boundaries of what is possible in eye research and patient care. Partnering for Impact. CIRA will become the partner of choice for eye research and deepen relationships with consumers and patients, industry, globally and locally, to commercialise novel therapies, funders and philanthropic partners, academic and research institutions, clinical and hospital partners. Lead in early eye disease intervention. Early intervention is key to preventing vision loss. To achieve this, we will utilise epidemiology, track disease trends and identify risk factors, develop clinical registries, collect data on eye diseases, enabling better understanding of disease progression, drive early intervention trials, design and implement clinical trials for early intervention, providing access to new treatments before vision is threatened. Developing and testing novel eye diagnostics and therapies. Leveraging our world-class new facilities and access to Cerulea clinical trials, CIRA will be a beacon for the development and trialing of novel diagnostics, biomarkers and therapies for clinicians and patients. Focus across four key disease areas: glaucoma, inherited retinal disease, macular degeneration, diabetic eye disease. Nurture emerging spaces: ocular oncology, corneal diseases, uveitis, other eye conditions.
2024 snapshot. $5.05 million in government grants, $3.75 million in philanthropic grants, $4.18 million in donations and bequests, 212 research publications, clinical research, 4,366 participants, 101 active clinical research studies, 67 studies involving an intervention or investigational treatment, Cerulea clinical trials launched, CIRA's new discovery labs open, the Advanced Genomics Collaboration, welcoming our Consumer Advisory Group, Lion's Eye Donation Service, coordinated donations from 331 donors for 668 corneal transplants and 308 sclera surgeries, with 159 allocated to research and training. $1.92 million Curator Plus funding for Mirogen.
Vibrant Vision. Artist and great-grandmother Leslie Hunter has a vibrant view of the world that shines through her art. I'm big and bold in my work. I've got paint on me, paint on the floor, paint on the dog, paint on everything else, she says. Leslie has lived with glaucoma for a decade after a surprise diagnosis several years ago. I believe my parents may have had it, but that is something that I've never been able to confirm, she says. Her condition is well managed, and she still enjoys both painting and travel, but she is also contributing to the future of glaucoma treatment by participating in research. Every 6 months, she takes the train to Melbourne from her studio in Beaufort, in central Victoria, to the Centre for Eye Research Australia. Sandy Rezek is an optometrist and clinical research coordinator at CIRA and says Leslie and people like her are an inspiration. Leslie has undergone extensive imaging, all at the age of 80, and always with a positive attitude and great big smile, says Sandy. Leslie hopes that her efforts will contribute to new ways to understand and treat glaucoma. If the research team learns something from me that can help someone else see, that's everything I can hope for. The picture caption reads, Bold Vision. Leslie Hunter is participating in research with Sandy Rezek.
Glaucoma trial goes with the flow. After starting as an idea on a whiteboard in Melbourne, the Vivid Flow glaucoma implant is now part of a landmark clinical trial. A Melbourne-designed implant that aims to protect the sight of people with moderate to severe glaucoma is now part of a large Australian trial underway at Cerulea Clinical Trials and several other sites across the country. The Vivid Flow implant, designed by CIRA Principal Investigator of Glaucoma Surgical Research, Professor Michael Coote, is a step towards improving how vision might be protected in the future. It has been incredibly rewarding to take this from an idea to a clinical trial, especially one that is so close to home, says Professor Coote. The implant being trialled by Vivid White, the company founded by Professor Coote alongside experienced medtech executive Andrew Batty, is built on innovative research on how to reduce pressure in the eye. Reducing pressure. People whose glaucoma cannot be controlled through eye drops may need surgery to help fluid drain from the eye. However, current treatments are not effective for everyone. Professor Coote's work to find a new treatment started in 2010 when he pioneered research to better understand how fluid can leave the eye. The Vivid Flow implant is designed to create an additional channel through which fluid can drain and disperse it gently through a series of over 150 exit channels over the back of the eye. This innovative design incorporates microfluidics and nanofabrication to release fluid in a controlled and consistent fashion to protect the rest of the eye and potentially improve how glaucoma is managed long term. Following a successful feasibility study in 2022, private investment and $1 million in funding from MTP Connect, the Australian Government's Life Sciences Innovation Accelerator, the device entered a large multi-centre study in 2024. CIRA Managing Director Professor Keith Martin is one of the surgeons involved with the clinical trial. There are not many examples where a small team, without assistance from a major medical device or pharmaceutical company, have taken an idea like this all the way from the drawing board to clinical trial, says Professor Martin. It's quite a privilege to be part of this trial, based on such fantastic research and a design that has been entirely locally created. The picture caption reads, Local Innovation. Professor Michael Coote holding one of the implants. National Recognition for Glaucoma Researcher. Associate Professor Zi-Chao Wu's work to improve the diagnosis and management of glaucoma has received accolades from the National Health and Medical Research Council and a major optometry award. Many people are only diagnosed with glaucoma after having lost a significant portion of their vision. Even after diagnosis, people with glaucoma can still become blind despite treatment. Sera, Head of Clinical Biomarkers, Associate Professor Zi Chao Wu, has received national recognition for his work to more effectively monitor and identify glaucoma. In 2024, the National Health and Medical Research Council, NHMRC, selected his research for their prestigious 10 of the Best publication, which celebrates success stories of health and medical research funded by the Australian government. He was also named Optometrist of the Year in 2024 by Optometry Victoria, South Australia, for almost a decade of contributing to reducing the impact of eye disease. Significant impact. Associate Professor Wu was working as a graduate optometrist when he first fully appreciated the impact of glaucoma. I found myself detecting eye disease that had already caused irreversible vision loss in people who had just come in for their routine eye test, he says. It was terrible to me that we could miss it, and that we just didn't have better tools to catch it early. This motivated him to pursue glaucoma research with the overarching goal of enabling earlier detection of this condition, before significant irreversible vision loss happens. His research received a boost in 2016 when he was awarded the prestigious NHMRC Early Career Fellowship to support his research to find better ways to detect and measure vision loss. With support from this fellowship during this crucial point in his career, he has developed novel statistical approaches, trial designs, and outcome measures that can reduce the sample sizes of participants required for clinical trials by up to 20-fold. He is now extending this work by collaborating with Sera's ophthalmic neuroscience team to use cutting-edge imaging technology to discover new biomarkers, biological processes that help diagnose conditions, understand the way diseases work, predict disease progression, and evaluate treatment effectiveness. They're harnessing the power of an advanced hyperspectral camera that uses a wide spectrum of different coloured light to reveal many details of the eye to help identify biomarkers of cells at risk of dying. Better impact. If these high-risk patients can be identified, clinicians can then monitor them more carefully and treat them more intensively as appropriate. This research could also make clinical trials more feasible to run, bringing new treatments to patients. By combining state-of-the-art OCT imaging with AI techniques, we aim to make glaucoma clinical trials shorter and much less costly to run, Associate Professor Wu says. Associate Professor Wu and the Clinical Biomarkers team are working hard to ensure these research innovations can be translated into the clinic and into meaningful improvements for people living with glaucoma. Through earlier diagnosis, faster identification of disease progression, and paving the way for therapeutic innovation, we hope to make blindness from glaucoma a thing of the past, he says. The picture caption reads, Protecting Vision. Associate Professor Zi Chao Wu is working to prevent vision loss from glaucoma.
Extraordinary views of cells. Sera researchers are looking at living cells in unprecedented detail to understand the exact damage that occurs during glaucoma. Current treatments for glaucoma aim to lower the pressure of fluid within the eye. However, many people who receive these treatments still go on to lose their vision. While lowering pressure is essential to preventing the death of retinal ganglion cells, the cells in the retina affected by glaucoma, the exact reason they die is still not known. We know we are missing something very important about the disease, says Sera Head of Visual Neurovascular Research, Dr. Luis Alacon Martinez. Both he and Sera Head of Visual Neuroscience, Dr. Anna Wong, are looking into these cells in remarkable detail to discover exactly what factors are causing this cell death. The retina is a thin layer of light-sensitive nerve tissue at the back of our eyes, made up of several different cell types, arranged in layers. You could picture it a bit like a layer cake, Dr. Wong says. The cells on the top layer convert light into electrical signals that reach the retinal ganglion cells at the bottom layer. Retinal ganglion cells send information to the brain through long axons, which make up the optic nerve. In glaucoma, the death of these retinal ganglion cells disrupts this vital communication and eventually leads to vision loss. To understand more about how these cells die, they are using Dr. Alarcón Martínez's pioneering two-photon microscopy method, an advanced imaging technique allowing researchers to see living tissue at a scale not possible with other microscopes. Different views. Each researcher is using the technique in different ways. Dr. Wong is aiming to understand the different types of retinal ganglion cells and see if they are affected differently in glaucoma. For instance, we might discover that a type of retinal ganglion cell reacts in a specific way to moving objects and is more likely to be damaged in glaucoma, Dr. Wong says. This information could be used as an important tool for testing patients. Dr. Alarcón Martínez is researching blood flow in the retina to understand the impact that may have in glaucoma. Nerve cells are always getting or using some levels of energy, which is why blood flow is so important to the retina, the optic nerve, and the brain, says Dr. Alarcón Martínez. Dr. Alarcón Martínez is collaborating with Professor Adriana Di Polo from the University of Montreal, who is a global leader in understanding the mechanisms behind glaucoma. Together, they previously used two-photon microscopy to discover unseen structures that communicate to regulate blood flow between cells in the retina, optic nerve, and brain, called nanotubes. If nanotubes are broken, the blood flow is disrupted. We are now seeing the importance of this process to diseases, including glaucoma, says Dr. Alarcón Martínez. Dr. Alarcón Martínez's ongoing work is supported by Fighting Blindness Canada, Alcon Research Institute, Australian Vision Research, Perpetual, Sir Edward Dunlop Medical Research Foundation, and the Cira Foundation. Dr. Anna Wong is supported by the DHB Equity Fellowship for Excellence in Vision Research and a Jack Brockhoff Foundation Early Career Medical Research Grant. The picture caption reads, New View. From left, Dr. Anna Wong, Jesse Gardner-Russell, Dr. Luis Alarcón Martínez, and Mahmoud Hadara in the lab.
Sound and sight. Lewis Shepherd loves music, playing cricket, and watching Formula One. The 15-year-old was born with Usher syndrome 1B, a rare genetic condition that causes profound hearing loss, a progressive decline in vision from teen to adult years, and balance problems. Throughout his life, Lewis has benefited from advances in medical research. A cochlear implant at 11 months old has enabled him to enjoy many of the same activities as his peers. He enjoys listening to retro music with his mum Emily and is considering music production, along with business or law, as a future career. But as his vision has declined, he now only has 15 degrees of peripheral vision, compared to the standard 180 degrees. Scientists at Cira are developing treatments to save the sight of people living with Usher syndrome. Lewis and Emily are grateful for research efforts to help people with hearing loss and hope that vision scientists will receive an equal level of funding as the early work to develop the cochlear implant. My vision is not the only thing about me. It does not define me, says Lewis. Research has done a lot for hearing, but not as many scientists are focused on vision loss. It is amazing that there is now research that could stop people losing their sight from Usher syndrome. Picture caption. Looking ahead. From left, Lewis's mother Emily, Lewis, and Associate Professor Gay-Shung Rick Liu are passionate about new treatments for Usher syndrome.
New focus for testing functional vision. Researchers are developing an innovative way of measuring the impact of new vision therapies on people's lives. Scientific advances, such as gene therapy, have created many new possibilities to improve vision. But how can experts and individuals with low vision measure the real-world impact of treatments? A new functional vision test developed by Sera researchers Lisa Lombardi and Lauren Musalem may have the answer. They hope that their new test, known as the Assessment Tool for Occupational Performance and Mobility Multisensory Approach, ATOM, will eventually become an internationally recognized standard assessment tool for real-world functional vision evaluation. Lombardi, an optometrist and senior clinical research coordinator, says activities of daily life can be complex for people with low vision and difficult to capture. Traditional vision assessments, such as reading letters on an eye chart, don't necessarily reflect a person's ability to function in everyday life, she says. Tasks such as crossing a street or making a cup of tea require more than just visual acuity. They need a combination of tactile, auditory, and cognitive strategies. A US-developed assessment has been used in Australia, but Lombardi and Musalem recognised the test was not always suited to Australian life, particularly references to following the lines of a crosswalk, which don't apply to Australian conditions. Musalem, an orthoptist and clinical research coordinator, says the pair decided to develop a tool that would be more practical, efficient, and globally applicable. Objective assessment. ATOM is designed to capture not only whether someone can complete a task, but also how they do it. The test consists of 15 tasks divided into three domains: daily living, outdoor navigation, and social interactions. Participants complete the test in their own home and local environment, making the results more applicable to their daily lives. The assessor gives an objective rating, and the participant rates how well they feel they performed. Lombardi says the test may play a significant role in detecting real-world changes in functional ability before and after medical interventions, such as gene therapy, retinal devices, or orientation and mobility training. For instance, if a patient who previously relied entirely on a cane or guide dog for navigation begins using residual or bionic vision after a treatment, this tool may capture that shift, she says. More applications. Musalem says that while originally developed for clinical research and bionic vision trials, the ATOM has broader potential applications, including rehabilitation programs, evaluating new devices, and offering insight into the daily challenges faced by vision-impaired individuals. Lombardi's work has already been recognized with the 2025 Look International Scholarship from Optometry Australia. The prestigious award highlights her contribution to vision research and the advancement of clinical tools that improve patient outcomes. After their pilot study demonstrated the reliability and repeatability of the test, the pair presented their findings at an international orientation and mobility conference in Texas in November 2024. The test received overwhelming interest from professionals. The team is now working to expand the study with additional participants and with the hope of seeking regulatory approval from bodies such as the FDA in the US and TGA in Australia. Their work has been supported by CIRA philanthropic funding and an Australian Vision Research Grant. The picture caption reads, Real World Tests. From left, Lisa Lombardi and Lauren Musalem are measuring real-world impact of treatment.
Boost to switch on site. Merigen, a startup founded at CIRA, has received a $1.92 million grant from the federal government's Curator Plus program. Merigen is developing a treatment which harnesses the regenerative power of the retina's own stem cells to prevent and reverse damage to the light-sensing photoreceptors in the back of the eye. The research aims to develop a therapy for currently untreatable conditions like retinitis pigmentosa, Stargardt's disease, and age-related macular degeneration. The Merigen team's gene therapy treatment involves injecting engineered viruses into the eye to deliver reprogramming genes into retinal cells. These genes will then stimulate the stem cells in the eye to develop into new photoreceptors that replace the damaged cells. Merigen, co-founder and head of cellular reprogramming research at CIRA, Associate Professor Raymond Wong, says the team has achieved promising results in earlier preclinical studies. The Curator Plus funding has enabled my team to conduct essential preclinical experiments to accelerate the development of our new gene therapy candidate, he says. Our ultimate aim is to get our treatment to patients and create a brighter future for people living with incurable blindness. Curator Plus is funded by the Medical Research Future Fund and delivered by Brandon Biocatalyst and Health. The picture caption reads, Restoring Cells. Associate Professor Raymond Wong is working to regrow cells in the retina. Supporting the next breakthrough. Founding members of CIRA's Eye Research Alliance are working together to help support the next wave of medical research. Over the course of their careers, Professor Noel Alpens, AM, and Associate Professor Julian Raitt, OAM, have seen research transform ophthalmology with new treatments, allowing them to protect more people's sight. They are now supporting vision research, so today's young ophthalmologists see a similar transformation through their career. Research and development are the lifeblood of any industry, says Associate Professor Raitt. Throughout my career, my patients have received immense benefit from research and scientific progress, and now I'm giving back to support the future of research and healthcare. And as Deputy Chair of Vision Australia, I really see the impact of vision loss and what new treatments might achieve for those with blindness or low vision. Associate Professor Raitt and Professor Alpens are inaugural members of CIRA's Eye Research Alliance and are beginning to build a community of eye care professionals who can support research. Professor Alpens has made significant contributions to improving cataract and refractive surgery, developing new methods to plan and analyse laser surgeries for better outcomes for patients. I work to make a difference to the vision of every person who walks through my door, but with published research, your work adopted by colleagues internationally can help many, many more gain an improvement in their quality of life, says Professor Alpens. Bringing people together with their unique skills, perspectives, and interests, we can achieve remarkable outcomes for patients we couldn't do so alone. The picture caption reads, Working Together. From left, Associate Professor Julian Raitt, OAM, and Professor Noel Alpens, AM, are building a community of eye care practitioners.
Generous support for women's research. A gift of $300,000 from the Felton Bequest will power Dr. Seneca Cech's research into female carriers of inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, for 3 years. Dr. Kuchek will be undertaking projects that aim to develop tests to identify a carrier's risk of severe vision loss and the safety and efficacy of gene therapy for these women. This includes the development of a saliva test to reveal how genes are being expressed. Treatments are currently focused on males with X-linked conditions, says Dr. Kuchek. What we're trying to find out is whether the treatment available for men in current clinical trials will work on women as well. X-linked IRDs are caused by a gene mutation on the X chromosome, which will typically develop severe vision loss for males who have one X chromosome. Female carriers of X-linked IRDs who have two X chromosomes, one mutated and one healthy, can still experience vision loss, though the severity and changes are not as well understood as they are in males. I'm so honoured that we've received this support from the Felton Bequest, says Dr. Kuchek. It allows us to explore the questions that remain unanswered for women living with these eye diseases. The picture caption reads, X-linked. Dr. Seneca Cech is working to better understand how IRDs affect women. Providing answers for unknown IRDs. New funding is supporting researchers from CIRA and the University of Melbourne to find answers for the 40% of people who are diagnosed with inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, but do not have a genetic diagnosis. Their work has the potential to find targets for breakthrough treatments and help people access future clinical trials. The Advanced Genomics Collaboration, TAGC, a partnership between international biotechnology company Illumina and the University of Melbourne, is supporting a team led by Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, and Dr. Cece Britton-Jones to access cutting-edge DNA sequencing technology to look for answers. It's quite amazing to see how quickly this field has changed from where we were 10 or 15 years ago, says Professor Ayton. The fact that we can now look at somebody's whole genetic information and have that explain what they're experiencing is just mind-boggling. Now we are at the precipice of a whole wave of new treatments, including gene therapy and oral medications, and with TAGC support, we've sequenced over 80 people. Funding for the 2024 TAGC innovation projects was possible with the support of Invest Victoria, Illumina, and the University of Melbourne. The picture caption reads, IRD Answers, Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, and Dr. Cece Britton-Jones. Genetic testing ends 40-year wait. A Melbourne mother has finally been correctly diagnosed with a disease that affects just 1 in a million people, thanks to a research collaboration between Sera and the University of Melbourne. Sharon Burston, 54, of Elsternwick, was told she had a type of inherited retinal disease called retinitis pigmentosa after experiencing vision loss as a child. Her search for information as an adult led her to the Venture Study into Inherited Retinal Diseases, IRDs, a joint effort between Sera and the University of Melbourne. The study aims to understand the progression of IRDs and identify people who may be eligible for future clinical trials. Through Venture, Sharon was able to access genetic testing and was diagnosed with adult RefSum disease, a rare metabolic condition that affects about 1 in a million people. Its progress can be slowed by dietary and lifestyle changes. RefSum disease is caused by the build-up of phytanic acid from food in body tissues, including the retina. People with the disease usually develop vision symptoms as a child or teenager. Other symptoms can include loss of smell, sensory and motor issues, deafness, unsteadiness, and abnormal joints. Sharon says that she had the RefSum symptoms of unusual hands and feet at birth, and gradually developed others, such as smell and hearing loss, poor balance, and osteoarthritis. But the puzzle was unsolved until she had genetic testing. As a child and young woman, it was traumatic to know I had a condition where they could not predict the progress, because retinitis pigmentosa is different for everybody. And of course, losing your vision is very frightening, Sharon says. I tried to get genetic testing for more information, but it was extremely hard to access until I joined the Venture study at Sera, which provided the answer. While RefSum is a difficult condition to manage, I'm relieved I now have something concrete, and there are ways to slow the progression. Unique experience. Sharon's unique case was outlined by Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, and Parker Truong in the journal Clinical and Experimental Ophthalmology. Professor Ayton says that IRDs were considered untreatable less than a decade ago. However, advances in genomic research means more people can find out what is causing their vision loss, and rapid advances in gene therapy research and other therapies provide hope for new treatments to stall vision loss and restore sight, Professor Ayton says. For Sharon, genetic testing revealed she had a disease that could be slowed down, but testing is equally important for people with other inherited retinal diseases. The value of genetic testing for patients with rare diseases cannot be overstated. Diet and lifestyle can have a positive impact on managing RefSum disease. Sharon, who is now a passionate advocate for refsome awareness and genetic testing, says she would have lived her life quite differently had she known earlier about her diagnosis. "I would never have fasted or dieted to lose weight really quickly. I would not have over-exercised. I would have eaten differently," she says. "I've made those changes now, but I am already fully blind in one eye, totally night blind, and only have 5 degrees of peripheral vision in the other eye." It's important that people have genetic testing through studies and that ophthalmologists and optometrists are more aware of refsome disease, as there is so much that can be done to slow the progression. The picture caption reads, "Correct Diagnosis. Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, with Sharon Burstyn." Research Journey. About 16 years ago, Olga Maxwell was diagnosed with age-related macular degeneration, AMD, a disease that affects the central part of the retina at the back of the eye. There are two late forms of AMD, wet AMD, also known as neovascular AMD, and dry AMD, also known as geographic atrophy. Olga lives with geographic atrophy. It didn't progress for a very long time, but in the last 12 months it has been progressing quite rapidly, she says. "I was just recently advised not to drive anymore. I was expecting it, but it was still a bit of a shock. I'm a very independent person, and I haven't lost my independence, but I don't have the ability to jump in the car and go do something. I have to plan now." Wet AMD can be managed with regular eye injections, but up until very recently, people with dry AMD did not have any treatments available to slow their vision loss. In early 2025, Australia's Therapeutic Goods Administration approved the first ever treatment to slow progression of the condition. Olga said it has been inspiring, after participating in research, to finally see the first ever treatment become reality. "To have seen everything that is being done over the last 16 years, I know that progress is being made." The picture caption reads, "View of Progress." Olga Maxwell, who has been participating in research for over a decade, with clinical trial coordinator Emily Caruso.
Editing genes to end regular eye injections. New research targeting the body's genetic messengers could be the key to ending regular eye injections for AMD. Wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD, can be controlled with regular eye injections, but the cost and discomfort of the procedure is a burden on both patients and the healthcare system. New research, led by Satish Kumar and Associate Professor Gay-Shung Rick Liu from CIRA and the University of Melbourne, has found a gene therapy technique with the potential to end the need for regular injections. They have, for the first time, used an RNA editing tool, known as CRISPR-Cas13, to suppress the production of vascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF, in human retinal cells. VEGF is a protein that causes abnormal leaky blood vessels to grow in the retina at the back of the eye, and is the key driver of vision loss in wet AMD and diabetic retinopathy. Our study shows the potential of RNA editing to develop gene therapies that offer an alternative treatment to the invasive, frequent eye injections that are currently used to treat wet macular degeneration and diabetic eye disease, says Associate Professor Liu. Changing instructions. While DNA provides the instructions for cells to function, RNA carries out these instructions by transmitting their message to cells. The experiment targeted the mRNA sequence that instructs cells to produce VEGF. It delivered the RNA editing tool via an adeno-associated virus vector and was tested on a mouse model and human retinal cells derived from stem cells. It showed that the viral vector was effective in delivering the treatment to retinal cells and produced a significant reduction in VEGF and a slowing of disease progression in the mouse model. The research was performed alongside scientists from the University of Sydney, Children's Medical Research Institute, University of Western Australia, and Zhongshan City People's Hospital, China, and published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2024. Although this research is in the early discovery stages and requires further development before transitioning to clinical trials, we envision that RNA editing could become a viable alternative to invasive and costly eye injections that have become a fact of life for many people living with wet macular degeneration or diabetic eye disease. Associate Professor Liu's research is supported by the Lions Ride for Sight and the Sera Foundation. The picture caption reads, Targeting AMD. From left, Satish Kumar, Kristen Ariel, and Associate Professor Gaesheng Rick Liu.
Global study uncovers AMD mysteries. An international study led by Sera, Weihai, and the University of Melbourne has found a genetic clue about the people at high risk of losing their vision from macular degeneration. Age-related macular degeneration, AMD, is a complex disease with many characteristics, which Sera Deputy Director Professor Robin Geimer, AM, has dedicated her career to unravelling. One factor is the development of reticular pseudodrusen, small deposits that build up in the retina of some people diagnosed with the disease. We thought these deposits were very rare, but with the latest imaging devices, we now find them quite often in people, particularly during the late stages of age-related macular degeneration, says Professor Geimer. There is evidence to suggest that reticular pseudodrusen increases the risk of progressing to the late stage of the disease, and with that, severe vision loss. Additionally, in a study that aimed to slow down disease progression, people with reticular pseudodrusen did worse compared to those without. Professor Geimer says that up to 8 in 10 people with late-stage macular degeneration have reticular pseudodrusen. We really need to concentrate on this group as they appear to have a more sinister disease. The Synergy High-Risk AMD study was established to understand exactly what these deposits are and why they are so bad for the eye. The 5-year project with colleagues from the University of Melbourne and Weihai is now ending and resulting in important discoveries. Genetic difference. To learn as much as possible about people who have reticular pseudodrusen, Sera researchers coordinated the collection of images and samples from 14 different sites across the globe. This was an enormous effort led by Dr. Carla Abbott to harmonise how images of the eye were captured and graded and collect genetic results, says Professor Geimer. This work has taken us 5 years, which involved at times accessing other groups' images so that we could check that we're all in harmony when looking for and defining that these deposits were present or not, which is not easy to do and agree on. While Sera researchers have been coordinating this massive undertaking, colleagues at the University of Melbourne and Weihai have been developing and studying models of AMD and performing genetic analysis of samples. Collectively, their work will hopefully lead to discoveries that will explain the cause of these deposits, leading to new avenues in treatment. Changing research. A cornerstone of their collective work is the discovery of one region of DNA that is strongly linked to the development of reticular pseudodrusen. This is a different region of DNA to that previously associated with AMD, representing a new pathway for the disease. Beyond genetic analysis, the scope of the project has resulted in many other achievements that can improve how AMD is understood. Dr. Himesh Kumar, who completed his PhD during the project, supervised by Associate Professor Zichao Wu, developed an AI algorithm that can detect and measure the amount of reticular pseudodrusen in people. Professor Geimer says that this work is an important step towards understanding AMD. We know one gene that is associated with reticular pseudodrusen, so now we need to determine what the gene regulates to better understand their cause. We are now working to keep the impetus and experience of these research groups going so that together we can work towards more answers. The picture caption reads, AMD answers. CIRA Deputy Director Professor Robin Geimer, AM, leads research to develop a greater understanding of age-related macular degeneration. Growing CIRA's supporter community. Chair of CIRA's Philanthropy and Engagement Committee, Alexandra Grimwade, is inspiring others to support research that protects vision. Grimwade has seen the impact of vision loss on how someone experiences the world. Her mother has lost peripheral vision due to glaucoma, and her paternal grandmother lost her sight through late detection of macular degeneration. Her career as a teacher only added to her passion for eye health, particularly how early intervention can impact a child's education. Sight is a gift, and people should be aware of their eye health just as much as they are the rest of their body, she says. Knowing her own genetic risk of developing these conditions, she is vigilant about getting her eyes checked. Her clinician, friend, and prolific ophthalmologist, Associate Professor Justin O'Day, highlighted the research undertaken at CIRA and the capacity to help many more people protect their sight. In 2024, she took on the role as chair of CIRA's Philanthropy and Engagement Committee to inspire more people to make a gift that supports research. CIRA is a great organisation with brilliant, dedicated people, all doing what they do best, she says. CIRA has a fantastic community of supporters. I want to help grow that community and support it to continue long into the future. The picture caption reads, Bringing people together. Alexandra Grimwade is passionate about vision research. Sleep apnea linked to macular degeneration. Research undertaken at CIRA has linked low levels of oxygen in the blood overnight with age-related macular degeneration, AMD. The findings could suggest sleep apnea as a modifiable risk factor for AMD. The study, published in Clinical and Experimental Ophthalmology, looked at overnight oxygen levels of people with different stages of AMD and found moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea was associated with an increased risk of having wet AMD. If this association is validated, it may well be worth asking people with high-risk early stages of AMD if they have any symptoms suggestive of sleep apnea, as treating it might reduce the risk of developing wet macular degeneration, says Dr. Carla Abbott, co-supervisor of the study. A lack of oxygen overnight can cause various health issues over time, but the light-sensitive retina in the eye may be particularly sensitive to small drops in oxygen levels. The retina is very active at night. It has its highest need for energy while it recovers from the day, says Dr. Abbott. The research was performed by University of Melbourne master's student Atika Chaudhry, along with members of CIRA's Macular Research Unit, led by Professor Robin Geimer, AM, as part of the wider Synergy High-Risk AMD study. The picture caption reads, Breathing Easy. Dr. Carla Abbott is investigating the impact of overnight blood levels on AMD.
Hope for new treatments. Brenda Nyagmore is grateful for the opportunity to participate in research for diabetic macular edema. After being warned about his blood sugar in 2010, he successfully controlled his weight for a decade, but in 2021, he was diagnosed with diabetic macular edema. Diabetic macular edema occurs when blood vessels in the macula leak fluid, which causes swelling. It makes central vision blurry or wavy, making it difficult to read, drive and recognise faces. After receiving treatment at the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, he was offered the chance to participate in a clinical trial at Cerulea Clinical Trials. Brendan says the experience of participating in research has been very rewarding. I'm not sure how long I'll live, hopefully another 20 years at least, but I want my eyesight to be as good as I possibly can, he says. All this research is happening before significant damage is being done to my eye. I'm not sure how significant my results will be, but I'm sure they'll impact in some small way. The picture caption reads, "Clearer tomorrow. Brendan finds the experience of participating in a clinical trial rewarding." Cerulea clinical trials to bring new treatments to Australia. CIRA's fully owned, not-for-profit clinical trial centre will improve access to innovative eye treatments. Victorians now have greater access to new, cutting-edge clinical trials for vision therapies following the launch of Cerulea clinical trials. The centre, supported by a $10 million investment from Breakthrough Victoria, is expected to deliver clinical trials to more than 2,500 Victorians a year over the next decade and create 50 new jobs. Cerulea was launched on the 20th of May, World Clinical Trials Day, by Victorian Deputy Premier the Honourable Ben Carroll. A fully owned, not-for-profit subsidiary of CIRA, Cerulea Clinical Trials is specialising in advanced therapeutics to prevent and treat blindness, including gene and cell therapies, biologics and medical devices. It is testing new therapies for eye conditions such as age-related macular degeneration, diabetic eye disease, glaucoma, inherited retinal disease, and other rare genetic eye conditions, with a major focus on trialling new therapies for diseases that currently have no treatment or cure. Cerulea will also boost local research, ensuring that new eye treatments and devices developed in Australia are trialled here where they can benefit local patients first. Better access. Cerulea Clinical Trials Chair and CIRA Managing Director, Professor Keith Martin, says the new centre will harness the growing investment in the global ophthalmic research market to bring more clinical trials to Australia. "Our aim is to build a specialist clinical trial centre that cements Victoria's reputation as a world leader in preventing blindness and reducing the impact of vision loss," he says. "It will also support the work of lab-based scientists to develop innovative new treatments to prevent vision loss and restore sight." Local eye care professionals will be able to improve the quality of care they provide to their patients by providing them access to emerging treatments in clinical trials. The picture caption reads, "Celebrating Cerulea." From left, "Minister Carroll launching Cerulea on World Clinical Trials Day with trial participant Kate."
Scanning for diabetes with AI. An AI-powered screening system for diabetes has the potential to improve how the condition is detected and reduce healthcare costs. Detecting diabetic retinopathy at the earliest possible stage is crucial to protecting a person's vision. But the complexity of managing diabetes and access to eye care professionals, particularly in rural settings, means the test is not performed as often as it should be. Research led by Dr. Wenyi Hu and Associate Professor Lisa Zhuoting Zhu at CIRA shows that an accurate AI-powered camera could prevent up to 40,000 cases of blindness from the disease over a 40-year period. Their study, published in eClinical Medicine, found that by being cheaper to perform than a traditional test and not needing specialized training, an AI scan could be incorporated into many more care settings. "Our modelling has shown that if we're able to screen over 80% of the diabetic population to find the undetected cases of diabetic retinopathy in the community and protect their vision, we would not only save their sight, but save the healthcare system many thousands of dollars in support services," explains Dr. Hu. "There would be some increase in the cost of treating the disease, but since more people get treated earlier, fewer people will progress to blindness, which is our ultimate goal." The team performed this modelling by comparing an AI-powered system against conventional manual screening at estimated rates of detected and undetected diabetic retinopathy in the community. The study supports the team's work developing an AI-powered camera that has the capacity to detect a whole host of conditions that are visible through the eye. "By making this test cheaper and able to be introduced into routine care for everyone, we can find and save the sight of people who might not yet know they have diabetes," says Dr. Hu. a universal screening program which is accessible to as many people as possible could mean more people are able to start treatment before they lose their vision. The picture caption reads, "Clearer detection." From left, researchers, Associate Professor Lisa Zhuoting Zhu and Dr. Wenyi Hu, are using an AI camera to detect diabetic vision loss.
Group gives consumers a voice. Sera's Consumer Advisory Group, launched in 2024, is embedding consumer voices into research at Sera and Cerulea Clinical Trials. The research conducted by Sera and Cerulea Clinical Trials happens for one reason: the people experiencing vision loss and their families. We need to ensure that these people have input into every aspect, from the type of research conducted to how trials are designed, and how findings are ultimately shared with the community. Sera's inaugural Consumer Advisory Group, appointed in 2024, includes independent consumers: Jane Cherry, Dr. Colleen Lewis, Dr. Ronelle Hutchinson, and Daniel Talco, along with Chris Edwards from Vision Australia, Sera researchers Dr. Myra McGuinness, Dr. Flora Hugh, and Dr. Luis Alacon Martinez, and Cerulea Clinical Trials representative Professor Lyndall Lim. Group Chair Sera Board Director Simon Bruin says the new group oversees the consumer program and ensures that consumer insights directly shape research priorities, the development of new treatments for eye disease, and the overall direction of Sera and Cerulea. "The establishment of the group is a turning point," he says. "Involving consumers directly in our research isn't just the right thing to do. It's going to make our work more impactful. These are the voices that matter most, and we're making sure they guide our research." The program was established by consumer involvement and advocacy lead Kelly Schultz, who held her role throughout 2024. "The strength of this group lies in the diversity of perspectives and lived experiences each member brings," she says. "This advisory group marks the starting point for Sera's broader consumer program, laying the foundation for meaningful, long-term involvement of consumers in our research and strategy." The group provides advice on various aspects of Sera and Cerulea's work, from early research design and clinical trial experience to the rollout of results. This collaboration will help ensure that Sera's research is both practical and responsive to the needs of the community. The consumer program is also supported by more than 30 consumer advisors who have volunteered to provide feedback, advice, and guidance on individual research projects. Sera Managing Director Professor Keith Martin says involving consumers directly in research is a powerful step forward. "Consumer insights will help ensure our work has real-world impact, benefiting those who need it most," he says. The launch of the Consumer Advisory Group marks an important step forward for Sera as it continues to advance eye research. "By embedding consumer perspectives, Sera is strengthening its commitment to more inclusive, community-driven research, working alongside other organisations that share this goal." Get involved. For more information about the Consumer Advisory Group and to get involved, visit cera.org.au/consumer-program/become-a-partner-in-research-at-cera/. The picture caption reads, "Consumer conscience." Consumer Advisory Group members, from left, Dr. Myra McGuinness, Daniel Talco, Kelly Schultz, Dr. Luis Alacon Martinez, Dr. Flora Hugh, Chris Edwards, Dr. Ronelle Hutchinson, Jane Cherry, Dr. Colleen Lewis, Simon Bruin, and Michelle Gallagher. Chair's vision for maximum impact. Sera's new board chair, Duncan Peppercorn, has a vision to maximise the impact and reach of our sight-saving research. Duncan joined the Sera board as a director in February 2024 and was appointed chair in August, succeeding Olivia Hilton, who led Sera through a significant period of growth. Chairing CIRA provides an extraordinary opportunity to work with great minds, scientists and board colleagues and be a part of the future of the organisation, he says. It is a privilege to follow on from Olivia's outstanding leadership. I am deeply impressed by the calibre of my board colleagues, who have skills in entrepreneurship, finance, strategy, medicine and research. CIRA is a successful organisation. It is in a strong position, with solid financial reserves. Despite the challenging environment for medical research institutes and universities in Australia and internationally, we will be looking to make strategic investments to grow the quality of our research in partnership with philanthropy and industry. As chair, I hope to open the door to more opportunities and relationships and create connections and partnerships that make more people aware of CIRA's research. Duncan has extensive experience as a senior executive, business consultant, and board director. Initially training as an engineer at the University of Cambridge, his career has spanned a diverse array of for-profit and for-purpose organisations, including the Australia Council, Sydney Symphony Orchestra, Social Ventures Australia, and most recently, global consulting firm Partners in Performance. Global perspective. As our first Sydney-based chair, Duncan says his appointment is the natural evolution of CIRA's focus on global and national partnerships. We have a team that is commercialising and translating their research, he says. This is crucially important in bringing great ideas to fruition and overcoming the limitation of the traditional research grant system that keeps good ideas in the lab. That strong entrepreneurial mindset ensures that our work helps the maximum number of people. Duncan says the recent Curator Plus investment in gene therapy startup Mirogen, which is developing a treatment for the currently untreatable eye disease retinitis pigmentosa, exemplifies this approach. By creating Mirogen as a spin-out company to attract further investment, CIRA has accelerated the pace of this research and helped it move closer to clinical trial. It also leverages the support of philanthropists who backed the blue sky thinking behind this technology in its early stages, maximising the impact of their support. Duncan says he is fascinated by the way researchers are applying cutting-edge technologies to prevent vision loss and save sight for people living with diseases which, until very recently, have been considered untreatable. CIRA and eye research is also crucially important because the eye is the window to the brain and how it works, opening up new frontiers of research. He is also inspired by CIRA's next generation of emerging research talent. We need to maintain an environment that nurtures the talent of our early and mid-career researchers and encourages innovation, he says. CIRA has been very successful globally, and my aim is to help it grow and continue to thrive. The picture caption reads, Maximising Impact. New CIRA board chair Duncan Peppercorn is aiming to open new possibilities.
Lead researchers. Dr. Luis Alacon Martinez, Visual Neurovascular Research. Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, PhD. Associate Professor Penny Allen, Bionic Eye Project, MBBS, Fransco. Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, Retinal Gene Therapy and Venture Study, Bachelor of Optometry, PhD, FAAO, FACO, GAICD. Professor Michael Coote, Surgical Glaucoma Research, MBBS, MS, Fransco, FRACS. Professor Mark Daniel, Corneal Research, MBBS, MS, Fransco, FRACS. Dr. Thomas Edwards, Retinal Gene Therapy Research, MBBS, PhD, Fransco. Dr. Jennifer Fan Gaskin, Ocular Fibrosis Research, Bachelor of Medicine and Bachelor of Surgery, MD, Fransco. Professor Robin Geimer, AM, Macular Research, MBBS, PhD, Fransco, FAHMS. Dr. Xavier Hadou, from July 2024, Ophthalmic Neuroscience, Bachelor of Science, Master of Engineering, PhD. Professor Alex Hewitt, Clinical Genetics, Bachelor of Medical Science, Honours, MBBS, PhD. Professor Lyndall Lim, Uveitis and Retinal Vascular Disease Research, Chief Medical Officer, Cerulea Clinical Trials, MBBS, Doctor of Medical Science, Fransco. Associate Professor Gay Shung, Rick Liu, Genetic Engineering Research, Bachelor of Medical Science, PhD. Dr. Isabel Lopez Sanchez, Mitochondrial Biology and Disease, Bachelor of Science, PhD. Professor Keith Martin, Glaucoma Research, MA, BM, Bachelor of Chemistry, DM, MRCP, FRC Ophthalmologists, Fransco, Favo, ALCM. Dr. Rod O'Day, Ocular Oncology, Honorary, MBBS, LLB, Bachelor of Science, Fransco. Associate Professor Ian Trance, Mitochondria and Neurodegeneration, Bachelor of Science, PhD. Professor Peter van Wingarden, until July 2024, Ophthalmic Neuroscience, MBBS, PhD, Fransco. Dr. Anna Wong, Visual Neuroscience, Bachelor of Science, Advanced, Honours, PhD. Associate Professor Raymond Wong, Cellular Reprogramming, Bachelor of Biomedical Science, Honours, PhD. Associate Professor Zichao Wu, Clinical Biomarkers, Bachelor of Applied Science, Optometry, PhD, FAAO. Associate Professor Lisa Zhou-Ting Zhu, Ophthalmic Epidemiology, MD, PhD. For more details about our researchers, visit cira.org.au. Our board. We extend the deepest appreciation to our board members who give their time and expertise to provide strategic direction and governance to CIRA. Duncan Peppercorn, joined board February 2024, elected chair August 2024, MA Honours. Olivia Hilton, chair until August 2024, Bachelor of Business, Marketing Honours. Simon Bruin, Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital Representative, Bachelor of Business, Graduate Diploma HSM, MBL GAICD. Professor Peter Chung, AO, University of Melbourne Representative, MBBS, MD, FRACS, Fellow of the Australian Orthopaedic Association, FAAHMS, MAICD. Professor Andrew Cuthbertson, AO, Bachelor of Medical Science, MBBS, PhD, FAA, FTSE, FAHMS. Suwani Damalingam, Bachelor of Commerce, Accounting and Finance, LLB, University of New South Wales, Graduate Diploma, Financial Planning. Christine Edwards, until February 2024, Bachelor of Applied Science, Postgrad Certificate, Public Sector Management, Master of Health Administration, GAICD, Postgraduate Certificate, Editing and Publishing. Professor Darren Kelly, Bachelor of Applied Science, Medical Lab Science, PhD, FASN. Nuala Kilgallen, Bachelor of Commerce, Honours, FCA. Professor Keith Martin, MA, BM, Bachelor of Chemistry, DM, MRCP, FRC Ophthalmologists, Fransco, Favo, FAAPPO, ALCM. Wendy Miller, BA, LLB Honours. Dr. Serge Scrofani, from February 2024, Bachelor of Science, Honours, PhD, MBA, MAICD. Alternate Directors. Professor Robin Geimer, AM, MBBS, PhD, Fransco, FAHMS. For Professor Keith Martin from August 2024. Professor Jenny Wilkinson-Burker, Bachelor of Science, Honours, PhD. For Professor Peter Chung. Professor Peter van Wingarden, MBBS, Honours, PhD, Fransco. For Professor Keith Martin until July 2024. CIRA Executive Team. Professor Lauren Ayton, AM, from August 2024. Principal Research Fellow, Retinal Gene Therapy Unit and Venture Study, Associate Dean, Innovation and Enterprise, MDHS, University of Melbourne, Bachelor of Optometry, PhD, FAAO, FACO, GAICD. Leah Borsbaum, Co-Chief Operating Officer and Company Secretary, LLB Honours, GAICD. Tina Cheng, Co-Chief Operating Officer, LLB Bachelor of Science. Fiona George, Executive Manager, Finance, Bachelor of Business Accounting, CPA, GAICD. Professor Robin Geimer, AM, Deputy Director, Head of Macular Research, Professor of Surgery, Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MBBS, PhD, Transco, FAHMS. Professor Lyndall Lim, Head of Clinical Trials Research, Professor of Surgery, Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MBBS, Doctor of Medical Science, Transco. Professor Keith Martin, CIRA Managing Director, Head of Glaucoma Research, Ringland Anderson, Professor of Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MA, BM, Bachelor of Chemistry, DM, MRCP, FRC, Ophthalmologists, Transco, Favo, ALCM. Rowan Nielsen, Executive Manager, Commercialization and Legal, Bachelor of Science, LLB, Honours. Janine Sim Jones, Executive Manager, Communication, Fundraising and Advocacy, Bachelor of Arts, Journalism, Graduate Diploma, PR, GAICD. Professor Peter Van Wingarden, until July 2024, Deputy Director, Associate Professor, Surgery, Ophthalmology, University of Melbourne, MBBS, PhD, Transco.
Abridged Financials. Consolidated Statement of Financial Position, as at the 31st of December 2024. Table. Assets. Current assets. Cash and cash equivalents, 2024, $509,000. 2023, $2,123,000. Trade and other receivables, 2024, $3,844,000. 2023, $1,300,000. Other assets, 2024, $458,000. 2023, $168,000. Total current assets, 2024, $4,811,000. 2023, $3,591,000. Non-current assets. Financial assets, 2024, $27,989,000. 2023, $32,035,000. Property, plant and equipment, 2024, $13,454,000. 2023, $7,151,000. Right of use assets, 2024, $13,302,000. 2023, $11,070,000. Trade and other receivables, 2024, $0. 2023, $121,000. Total non-current assets, 2024, $54,745,000. 2023, $50,377,000. Total assets, 2024, $59,556,000. 2023, $53,968,000. Liabilities. Current liabilities. Trade and other payables, 2024, $3,529,000. 2023, $4,738,000. Employee benefits, 2024, $2,285,000. 2023, $2,357,000. Lease liability, 2024, $1,119,000. 2023, $944,000. Total current liabilities, 2024, $6,933,000. 2023, $8,039,000. Non-current liabilities. Lease liability, 2024, $13,137,000. 2023, $10,539,000. Borrowings, 2024, $10,495,000. 2023, $5,083,000. Employee benefits, 2024, $272,000. 2023, $205,000. Total non-current liabilities, 2024, $23,904,000. 2023, $15,827,000. Total liabilities, 2024, $30,837,000. 2023, $23,866,000. Net assets, 2024, $28,719,000. 2023, $30,102,000. Equity. Reserves. 2024, $21,791,000. 2023, $19,352,000. Retained earnings, 2024, $6,928,000. 2023, $10,750,000. Total equity, 2024, $28,719,000. 2023, $30,102,000. End table. Consolidated statement of profit or loss and other comprehensive income for the year ended 31st of December 2024. Table. Revenue. Federal and state government grants. 2024, $5,050,000. 2023, $6,838,000. Clinical trials and contract research. 2024, $8,224,000. 2023, $6,356,000. Donations and bequests. 2024, $4,181,000. 2023, $4,151,000. Philanthropic and other grants. 2024, $3,745,000. 2023, $2,101,000. Investment and other income. 2024, $4,002,000. 2023, $3,608,000. Total revenue, 2024, $25,202,000. 2023, $23,054,000. Expenses. Research expenses, 2024, minus $13,803,000. 2023, minus $14,076,000. Research support expenses, 2024, minus $7,923,000. 2023, minus $6,165,000. Occupancy expenses, 2024, minus $508,000. 2023, minus $371,000. Depreciation, 2024, minus $2,726,000. 2023, minus $1,649,000. Finance expenses, 2024, minus $1,625,000. 2023, minus $809,000. Total expenses, 2024, minus $26,585,000. 2023, minus $23,070,000. Net surplus or deficit, 2024, minus $1,383,000. 2023, minus $16,000. End table. Income sources, 2024. 32%, clinical trials and contract research. 20%, federal and state government grants, 17%, donations and bequests, 16%, investment and other income, 15%, philanthropic and other grants. Expenses 2024, 52%, research expenses, 30%, research support expenses, 10%, finance expenses, 6%, occupancy expenses, 2%, depreciation. These abridged audited financial statements have been extracted from the full audited financial statements for CIRA and its controlled entities. The full audited financial statements can be extracted from the ACNC, Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission website. CIRA operates as a not-for-profit organisation. Accordingly, accumulated surpluses are held as reserves to support future research projects and operations.
Supporters and acknowledgements. The following generous people and organisations have supported CIRA to work towards a world free from vision loss and blindness. We are grateful for the many generous contributions to our research made by individual donors, along with the support of philanthropic trusts and foundations, industry, government, and our member organisations. Major gifts, $10,000 plus. Peter Clemenger, AO. Renata Daniel. Marilyn Darling, AC. Pito Brothers Proprietary Limited. Giuseppina Faeli from Westside Meat Proprietary Limited. Alexandra and Fred Grimwade. Craig Kimberley, OAM, and Connie Kimberley. Peter Lemon. Joe and Peter Manger. Cheryl Muir. Justin and Sally O'Day. Jane and Julian Raitt, OAM. We also pay tribute to donors who wish for their contributions to remain anonymous. Trusts and foundations, $10,000 plus. Australian Vision Research. Betty Brenda Spinks Charitable Trust. Clive and Vera Ramaciotti Foundation. DHB Foundation. Future Vision Foundation. The Grass Foundation. Gwyneth Nancy Head Foundation. Harold Mitchell Foundation. Kel and Rosie Day Foundation. Lions 201v3 Ride for Sight. Margaret Miller Foundation. Marjorie M. Kingston Charitable Trust. Michel Moore Foundation. Norman Beischer Innovation Grant. Retina Australia. Ruth Marie Sampson Foundation. Sir Edward Weary Dunlop Medical Research Foundation. South Coast Foundation. Telematics Trust, the Angio Family Foundation, the Cuthbertson Family Fund, the Danny Wallace Philanthropic Foundation, the Felton Bequest, the HMA Foundation, the Ian Potter Foundation, the Jack Brockhoff Foundation, the Miller Foundation, the Peggy and Leslie Cranburn Foundation, the Yulgabar Foundation. Bequests, $10,000 plus. Estate of Anne Patricia Black. Estate of Harold Raymond Muir. Estate of Lois Elizabeth Oliver. Estate of Mavis Mary Ford. Estate of Nancy Jean Bickard. Corporate supporters. Bayer Australia Limited. Oculus Biomed Limited. Novartis Australia. Roche. Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital. We gratefully acknowledge the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital for facilitating support from the following donors for our research. H&L Hecht Trust. Endowments. We gratefully acknowledge the support of the University of Melbourne in the ongoing management and direction of the following endowed funds to support our research. Dorothy Adele Eddowes Research Foundation. Nancy Jean Bickard Bequest. Managed by Perpetual Limited. Hazel Jean Eastham Bequest. Hector MacLean Fund. Louisa Jean de Bretteville Bequest. Maurice Cantlon Memorial Fund. Winifred Hallam Mons Bequest. Government. Breakthrough Victoria. Curator Plus Medical Research Future Fund. National Health and Medical Research Council. Victorian Medical Research Accelerator Fund. Victorian Government Operational Infrastructure Support Fund. Members: Diabetes Victoria, Glaucoma Australia, Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Ophthalmologists, RANSCO, Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, University of Melbourne, Victorian Lions Foundation, Vision Australia. Partnerships and associations: Aikenhead Centre for Medical Discovery, Association of Australian Medical Research Institutes, AAMRI, CRM Australia, International Agency for the Prevention of Blindness, Medical Research Commercialisation Fund, MedTech Actuator, Melbourne Academic Centre for Health, St Vincent's Hospital, Melbourne, World Health Organisation, the Advanced Genomics Collaboration, TAGC. Honorary Governors: the late Brian L. Ansell, Peter Clemenger, AO, and the late Joan Clemenger, OAM, Andrew Fairley, AM, Professor John Funder, AC, the Honourable Dr. Barry Jones, AC, Charles Maychek, Tina McMecken, Andrew G. Michelmore, AO, Peter Nankervell, Margaret S. Ross, AM, Professor Hugh Taylor, AC, Professor Bob Williamson, AO. Vale. CIRA expresses its deepest sympathies to the family of the late Brian L. Ansell, who passed away in 2024. The Ansell family were instrumental in the establishment of CIRA through the Ansell Family Trust's support of our early research.
How you can support us? Donate. With your support, we can continue our world-leading research and accomplish scientific breakthroughs previously deemed unattainable. Please visit cera.org.au/donate. Leave a bequest. Make a gift in your will and leave a lasting legacy. Partnership and funding opportunities. For a confidential discussion about how you can partner with our researchers to help them discover new ways to prevent vision loss, contact CIRA on philanthropy@cera.org.au. Register for a clinical trial. Be part of clinical research by registering at cerulea clinical trials.org.au/take-part-in-research/register-your-interest. Join our consumer program. Help shape the future of eye research by sharing your lived experience of eye conditions or vision loss. Please visit cera.org.au/consumer-program. Stay in touch. Visit our website, cera.org.au, to sign up for our biannual supporter magazine, Visionary, or monthly e-newsletter, iNews. Connect with us. Facebook, cera.eye. Instagram, Centre for Eye Research Australia. Creative, design by nature. Photography, copyright, Anna Carlisle and Ben Jones. The picture caption reads, Forward Progress. Clinical Trials Coordinator Emily Caruso taking a measurement from Olga Maxwell.
Back cover. Contact information. Centre for Eye Research Australia. Telephone +613 9959 0000. Email cera@cera.org.au. Website cera.org.au. ABN 72076 481 984. This production has been made possible by the Centre for Eye Research Australia in the interests of information accessibility. The recording was produced by Vision Australia, website www.visionaustralia.org. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error or omission. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted. Your narrators were Jenny Seedsman and David Tredinnick. This concludes the recording.